is God. If you have you turn with me, Acts chapter 2, a familiar portion of Scripture, verse number 39. Amen. I think all of us knows this Acts 2:38 on the sign right behind me. But I'm following up on that verse today. Acts 2, verse 39. It says, "For the promise is unto you." Someone point at yourself. "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Amen. This promise, this Acts 2:38 experience, this experience of being born again in God, this wonderful, precious gift that God gave to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 as well. One more verse. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Amen. Man, I want to hold fast the promise. Amen. Of all the other things in this life, man, I want to hold fast this promise. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now, Lord, that we would hold fast the promise, Lord, that you gave us. Lord, that you would keep us, Lord, safely, Lord, in your hand. Lord, that all the things about us, Lord, whether they come or whether they go, of all the things in my life, Lord, let me hold the promise that you gave me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hold fast the promise. In fact, we were talking about it in our elements class today, and my stressing point was this thing called truth. You know, that I know who Jesus is. Man, I want that truth, Jesus Christ, to be way down in the deepest part of the innermost being of who I am. Amen. I want that truth, amen, to last my whole life. Amen. You know, I received that truth as a little kid growing up, being raised in Sunday school and sometimes sleeping under the pew as a little tiny guy. But that truth I received way back then, I want to be with me when I'm going towards the grave, when I've ended my days, when I've completed my path, when I've finished my journey. Amen. I want to keep this promise, the truth that Jesus, who Jesus is. Amen. I want to be in that group that will hold fast the promise. Amen. I sometimes think of those other young people that I grew up with in church. You know, that I see their faces. I can recall their names. I can see them, you know, in my Sunday school classes and in youth events. And I could see them in the life that I was living back then. And some of those people, today, some are in the ministry. My best friend growing up, he's a pastor. He's kept this faith. He's followed this path. And he has held on to the promise. Amen. And God has done great things in the lives of those that will hold on. Of the lives of those that will keep this faith. God has and will continue to do great things in the lives of those, the people that choose to live for Him. He will use you. And then also I sadly remember some of those folks that were very promising, very talented young people, very on fire for God and were the example in our youth. some of those people aren't even going to church anymore. You know, and it kind of, there's a hole within my heart when I hear a report like that, oh, no, they don't go to church anymore. Oh, man, how could that happen? How could it be? It just doesn't seem true. It cannot be that you would leave this truth, the promise that God has given us. You see, we are to hold on to our profession of faith. Amen. Amen. The acknowledgement, the confession, I believe Jesus is God. Yes. Amen. In fact, it's in my life, it's more than a belief. It is an absolute certainty. I know it is absolute truth that Jesus is God. Amen. And no matter what comes, and it's going to come a day that our religious society, the religious faction of our world, it's going to come against those that know who Jesus is. It already has. It's may be bad and getting worse, but we haven't seen the bad part yet. But no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I want to hold fast. I want to keep this truth. I want to know who God is. I want nothing to come between me and Him. I want to know that I know that I know that my God, Jesus the Christ, is God. You know, there's going to be pressure from the world to bow down, yes, but also to compromise your belief. To say, oh yeah, it's okay if you believe your way and I believe my way. No. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what the kingdom of God is. And I don't want to compromise. I want to hold on. I want to speak truth. Speak Jesus. Amen. I heard it just sang just a few moments ago. We were singing it. Speak the Holy Name in my family, in my life, in my home, and in everything that I am. Let there be the speaking of Jesus in the midst. Amen. This verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promised. The very next verse, verse number 24. It's interesting in that the context of this next portion of Scripture, verse 24 of Hebrews 10, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke. What is it saying? You know, that would be kind of mean words, right? Oh, you're provoking me. Not in this sentence. Not in this way. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. To good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Man, I can, you know, we, on Tuesday night, there's a group of us that watch, we gather together for an end time Bible study, and we're considering the scriptures and looking at the things that are prophesied in the Bible, and we are looking at those things compared to our present day. The actions, the events, the world stage, even in our own community, even right here in our own church, everything is coming to pass, just as the scriptures have said. There has never been a day where all the fulfillments of Scripture have taken place already, just as the Scripture has said. It's been set in order. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was confirmed in the New Testament. And it is taking place in our day right now. It's not time to give up on believing. It's not time to quit church. It's not time to give up on God. We need one another. We need to be encouraging one another in love and encouraging people to do good works. Amen. I heard good things about the preaching yesterday. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. It was a good thing to have the ladies' event. It was a good thing for us, for our ladies to gather together and to have that thing. To have the ladies' lunch and to hear the Word of God, to fellowship one with another. My wife was saying she had these icebreakers getting, you know, to... But she said, man, there was so much talking and visiting and stuff going on. They didn't need no icebreakers. Praise the Lord. You know, that's just music to my... It's beautiful. It's encouraging. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's also, thank you for helping, for all those that helped. Because all those portions, when you put it together, it makes the whole even more beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I tell you, I see the day approaching. In fact, you would almost have to just purposefully close your eyes to the biblical events that are taking place in our world today for you not to see God's hand in our world. Amen. God's hand is working in our world. Amen. God's plan is coming to fruition. It is coming to fulfillment. God is getting ready to do exactly what He is doing, exactly what it says in the Bible in our day. Our world is going to go just stark, raving crazy. Our world is going to go off of the rails. But God is going to hold on to the church. God is going to keep His people. It's going to be a time of revival. There are going to be more people coming to God in the last days than at any other time on the face of the earth. It's going to be a greater revelation. It's going to be a greater anointing. It's going to be a greater increase in God's kingdom than has ever happened before. Amen. I believe that. I believe it because it says it in the Word. I believe it because it's in the Bible. As you see the day approaching, there is going to be times when we need to encourage one another. Don't be afraid of what's... Oh, Pastor, did you hear what's in the news? Yeah, I did. But I'm not afraid. In fact, I'm encouraged because I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to take place because it says so in the Bible. It doesn't cause me fear. It causes me to rejoice. I got to hold on to the promise that God gave. I got to hold on that God knows what He's doing, that God really is in control. God is going to keep His church. He is going to keep the body of Christ in the center of His hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has got me. God's got you. You will keep this promise. You know the most dangerous place to be? Oh, you said it, man. The only thing I don't want to do is get out of the church. The only thing I don't want to do is turn my back on God. Man, there is nothing anybody can say, do, or think, or any accusation or anything that people could bring up. Nothing is going to make me believe that Jesus is not God. I know that I know that I know that Jesus is God. If you could go to the very center of my body, way down deep inside, it says Jesus. Jesus on the inside and Jesus on the outside. I want Jesus to be a part of everything in my life. I want Jesus to be a part of my home, a part of my life, in my mind, in my eyes, in my mouth. Let Jesus have control. Woo! Get this now. To provoke one another to good works. Man, our church wants people to get involved. What a beautiful thing it was that we had people involved in the ladies' luncheon. You know, I just say that because it was yesterday. But no matter what goes on, get involved in the kingdom of God. Be involved in the things around the house of God. Put your hand on the plow. Turn one row of dirt over yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Provoking one another to good works. Thank you for being involved in the kingdom. Amen. Our church, and I am so happy that God has blessed us with people that love God. With people who are willing and want to do the will of God. People who are willing to set their hand on the plow and be involved in the kingdom and do things in the church. Get this now, it also said, not forsaking the house of God. Praise the Lord. It is the will of God for us to gather together as a body of believers. Amen. It encourages me when people come to the house of God. And you are encouraged in God when you come to the house of God. The worst thing that you can do, you know, when you're really feeling down, when the devil's kind of beat you up, when you don't really feel good, and you know, you had a hard week, and Saturday was especially bad, the worst thing you can do is stay home on Sunday. Devil, you will not make me stay in the pit. I am not volunteering to let you win. No way. Get yourself up. Get yourself in to the house of the Lord. And even as we see the day approaching, there is a whole lot more opportunities for you to come to the house of God. Now, I realize everybody is not going to come to everything. And in fact, it's not intended that everybody would come to everything. Amen. But it is the will of God that every one of us would be involved in the kingdom of God. That it tells us in the Bible, not forsaking the house of the Lord. When you look up, a lot of times you look it up in the Greek, you look it up in the Old Testament, you use your, you know, your concordance, and you use your Hebrew and the Greek definitions, and you'll do a Bible study. study and you dig right down deep into it. You know, I tried to look up not forsaking in the Greek. You know what I found? It says the same thing. It doesn't get any better than this. It says the same thing. Great for my Bible theology. It says the same thing. I need to get myself into the house of God, into the kingdom of God, involved in the church. Now, the New International Version of those two verses, 24 and 25, says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Hey, that's pretty good English. I can understand that. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together. All right, that's good stuff, as some are in the habit of doing. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's a... But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, we got to hurry up and do what God wants us to do. Amen. Let's pull out all the plugs and just go ahead and live for God hard. Let's live for God with all of our effort, all of our strength, all of my mind, all of my effort. Let everything that is within me praise the Lord. Amen. No matter, and, you know, I get tired. I'm not 40 anymore. I used to think 40 was old. 40 is young. My kids are coming up on 40. Yeah, I got one already past that mark. No matter how tired I get, no matter how old I get, no matter how busy I get, no matter what comes into my life or what squeezes its way out, I want to stay faithful to God. Amen. I want to stay faithful to God. Now, things are not always going to remain the same. I'm a realizer of that, and I know change is going to happen, and I know I'm personally getting older, but you know, I'm not afraid of that. In fact, I am looking forward to it. God has something brand new and wonderful in store for me. Every child of God must be careful to steer clear of sin. Sinful behavior will drag you down, in case you didn't know. Joshua had sent 3,000 or so soldiers to handle the city of Ai. You see, they had already entered into the promised land, and they're expanding now their territory, and they looked at the next city, and they sent out reconnaissance. They sent out the scope it out and see what's there. Are they many or are they few? Are they strong? Are they weak? Do they have great weapons? Are they, you know, what is it like there at Ai? Oh, it's a small city. We should be able to, you don't need to send the whole army over there. Just send 2,000 or 3,000, and that should be, and God will give us the victory. But what turned out was a fiasco. The men of Ai ended up chasing the men of Israel out of town and embarrassing the whole... They embarrassed the whole nation of Israel. This little city sent them running. They were running for their lives. Joshua chapter 7. Beginning to read there at verse number 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. he and the elders of Israel and put on dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? God, why'd you put us here? Deliver us, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan." Verse number 8. "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? When that little town chases us out of there. When that little place defeats us." Verse 9. "For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ around us." They're going to gather up against us and cut off our names from the earth. "And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Here's a point. No matter how God called you, the children of Israel were called to enter into the promised land. They were directed from God to go there. They were following the plan and the will of God. But in this instance, they failed. That little city Ai chased them away. Joshua had many good points. "God, if you're not going to back us, we're done. We should have just stayed in the other side of the river." Listen to what God had to say. The very next verse, Joshua chapter 7, continuing to read at verse number 10. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant." God is telling them what happened. They didn't understand it. They didn't know why. They were defeated, and now they were running from their enemy, and they were praying and pleading against for God to help them. And God gave them the answer. Sin. They were messing up. "Israel hath sinned," verse 11. "And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Verse 12, "Wherefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore." That's a scary thought. Man, what would you do without God? I don't even want to think about that thought. That's not even a consideration in my mind. Let it be far from me that I would be without God. "Except ye destroy the accursed from among you." You got to quit the sin problem. If we, as a church, want to walk in the promises of God, if we want to, God has given us precious, precious, precious. Did I say precious promises? Acts 2:38. Infilling of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, sin washed away, living a godly life, having a blessed home, having wonderful children, having blessed heritage. You want to give all that up? For what? What could I exchange for the promises of God? What could you accept compared to the promises of God? I tell you, there is nothing in this world worth giving up on God. Nothing is worth your soul. If we as a church want to walk in the promises of God, then we must have a renewed desire to repent. A renewed desire to live right before God. God said, they did this. God was holding up the whole camp from going into the kingdom of going into the promised land, from winning the battles that they should be winning. It turns out that the they was one man, Achan, had committed a deep sin. Did you know people are going to do what they want to do? It is impossible for anyone to make you live for God. It's impossible. Well, that's the pastor's job to get to people. No, I cannot make anyone live for God. It's my job to be an example. It's my job to preach the truth. It's my job to draw you unto God. It's my God to preach to you the Word of God. It's my God to expound on the Word, to bring you the truth, that you might know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But I can't make you live for God. You got to have the want to. You got to have a made up mind. They turned out to be a he, Achan. The name Achan even means troublesome in Hebrew. Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, just jumping down a few verses. When they saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, it was a nice suit of clothes, and 200 shekels of silver. Oh man, look at that bag of money. Looks pretty good. And a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Man, that looks like some pretty good stuff. The world has a whole bunch of stuff that looks good, that is really bad for you. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. You know the result of partaking in that sin, of him taking that garment and that silver and that gold, and he brought it to his tent and he dug a hole and he hid it there. He just put it there in hiding in his house. The results of sin are devastating. Sin has its consequences. Joshua chapter 7, verse 24. This is really tough stuff right here. But it teaches us a lesson. And Joshua and all Israel with him, you see, they had found out his sin. He then confessed to what he did and why he did it. They took Achan, the son of Zerah. He took him and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent. And all that he had. And they brought them, all that stuff, into the valley of Achor. See, they stoned everyone in his family. They buried the animals under that pile of rocks. Sin has consequences far beyond yourself. The sin that you choose to do is going to affect those around you. It's going to affect those that you love. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your home. It'll affect who you are. It'll affect who you know. Sin leaves you with nothing. Sin will eventually destroy everything if you keep going down that path. There is no promise with God, to be with God, if you choose sin. Let me stop for just a moment. And yes, I'm speaking to the whole church, but I especially want to emphasize to the parents in our church, don't underestimate the danger of bringing ungodly, worldly things into your home. It's my job. I got to warn you. I got to tell you. Look out! It's dangerous! Look out! You're going the wrong way! Look out! It's bad! Don't willingly embrace ungodly things. Don't underestimate the danger of worldliness in your home. Oh, it was just a Babylonian garment. It was just some silver and some gold. It's not so much that we can't have clothes, you can. It's not so much that you can't have money, you can. It's not so much that you can't have even riches, you can. But we need to do it under the blessings of God. Amen. Don't go out into the world to get ungodly things and bring them home and put them in your house. Don't embrace the ungodliness of the world. He brought those things home. He buried them in his tent. And he hid them there. Oh, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to find out. I'm not broadcasting it anywhere. I'm not bragging about that stuff. It's right there, and nobody else will even know. Sin is never secret. God knows everything. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we do have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, God knows everything. You ain't hiding. You might think you got a secret that you're hiding. There is nothing secret from God. Let us hold fast our profession. Right? I want to keep this truth, my friend. No matter what happens, no matter who comes or who goes, no matter what goes on, I want to keep this truth. I want to know who God is, and I want to proclaim it to be true. I want to keep the promises of God alive in my life. Don't let go of the promise. God knows about that secret sin. God sees it already. Nothing gets by God. Jesus said, the hairs of your head are numbered. Some are easier to count than others. But God knows about it. Therefore, the answer is not to pretend that the sin isn't in there, but but rather to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we would repent. Amen. That's the answer. If you find if something looks good in the world and you made a mistake and you brought that thing home and it's right now there in your house, well then guess what? Just as soon as you can, let that thing go. Go ahead, God, I'm sorry I did that. Let me throw that thing out. Don't even put it in the yard sale because you don't want somebody else to have that thing. My wife and I, when we came to church, she had this record collection, hundreds of records. You know, some of them were quote-unquote collector's items. You know, special collector's editions, you know, with the special color and maybe a picture embedded on it. And, you know, she paid extra money to get that record. And way back in my day, they had vinyl albums. We laugh at that now, but they were very valuable back then. And Jeanette was, you know, we're not going to listen to those records ever again. We're never going to go back and listen to that stuff anymore. What am I going to do with it? And she thought, well, I don't even want to put them in a yard sale. I don't even want to take any money for them. I don't want no increase from that. She took out that whole box, hundreds of records, right in the dumpster. You don't even realize the weight that came up, you know. The weight, the spiritual weight of trusting. And, you know, she was a lover of music. You know, you can have a passion and be very special to you. It have meaning in your life. But if that meaning and that special thing is against God, that thing's got to go. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's against God, let it go. Go ahead and tell God you're sorry. God, I shouldn't have been listening to that stuff anyway. Right in the dumpster. Later on, her friends, well, what? You did what? Where's the dumpster at? I ain't even telling you where that dumpster is. I don't want you digging in that thing to get that garbage out. Let the garbage stay in the trash can. Get rid of the ungodly thing. Amen. So you see, sin can hold up the forward motion of God's plan in our lives. Sin will hold you back from progressing in God, from God using you in very special ways. Not only open rebellion type of sin causes us to be run off the rail, but get this, talking can hold us back from God. What you say matters. See, Moses had a sister, Miriam. She didn't like who he chose and who he married, and she talked bad about Moses' wife. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Family squabble. And people are allowed to have your own opinion. But she took it too far. She turned a simple family disagreement into a challenge of his calling by God. Verse number 2 of Numbers 12. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Man, you better be careful what your mouth is spewing out. be careful about what the words you choose to say. You know, you would expect God to have corrected Miriam. And he did. Jumping down just a few verses, number 10, verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. There was a judgment of God upon her life because of her sin. The sin of talking against Moses, her brother. Not only did he correct Miriam, and he did, but the whole forward nation of Israel was stopped for a week because of her talking. Verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. You know, when we realize that we've messed up and we repent and we get back, you know, there is judgment for sin, but we can repent. You don't have to stay in sin. Get back in the right place with God. Go. You know what you need to do. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to stop sinning. You need to do right again. And God will receive you. That's the right thing. She messed up. She realized it. She had a judgment. She got leprosy. She got healed. She stayed out at the camp while she was sick. But then when the leprosy was gone, she came back in and the whole nation continued on their journey. We need to be in God's house. We need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Preaching can do more for our life than we can do on ourselves. Well, I can read the Bible at home. You need to be in the house of God so that God can move upon you, so that God's Spirit can inspire you. Amen. We need to encourage and inspire one another. Your worship encourages someone else. Your presence in the house of God lifts someone else up. Come and hear the testimonies of what good things God has done. Amen. I heard the testimony just yesterday of someone being blessed on their job with a bonus check. Praise God for blessings. You know, I'm lifted up by someone else being blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to encourage one another. Share what good things God has done with you, with other people in the house of God. Jesus even sent his disciples out in twos. He sent them out together. Solomon explained the reason why. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. For if he hath not another to pick him up. Tell you what, I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need the house of God. I want to belong to a body. I don't want to try and do this living for God all by myself. I wasn't intended by God to do it alone. I was intended to be a part of the body. Praise the Lord. You see, and it's not always sin that derails us. It could be discouragement. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, why would it say something like that? Because living right doing right is hard. It takes diligence. You got to make up your mind. It'd be really easy to give in to the things of the world. It'd be so easy just to do like everybody else. Take Sunday off. Oh, I deserve a day off. No, I need to get myself in the house of God. I need to be faithful to the Lord. Paul said that we are an epistle. We are read and known of all men. Let people see you doing right, living right, talking right, being right. Amen. And people around you are going to notice what you're doing. You see, that's why we need to be so very careful. Careful about everything in our life. How we dress, how we look, what we talk about. Don't talk about your boss bad in front of your other coworkers. That's not going to lift you up. That's not going to help you. The way you look, the way you talk, the way you conduct your business, the world is watching us. And if we have Jesus inside of it, inside of us, the whole world around us will see Jesus in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I believe that Acts 2:38 message. Yes, there are people in our church that are convinced 100% that Jesus is God. Praise the Lord for that, for revelation. Thank you, God. But Jesus also said in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that we are, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Amen. We got to live this life for Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's right here, the people in the house, that apostolic lighthouse. Amen. Praise the Lord for this people. You know, some people are, people can be so sloppy. You know, can I borrow $20? You ever heard that one? You ever think you're going to see that $20 bill again? Probably not. And that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. You know, if somebody asked you for $20, you'd be better off just to give it to them. This is not a loan. Here you go. Because you're going to be sorely disappointed if you, every time you see them, think, man, that guy still owes me $20. Don't even let that cross your mind. Make commitments. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Anybody got a commitment from somebody who was supposed to come to the ladies' conference and they didn't show up? How many times you had invited somebody to church? Oh, yeah, I'm coming. I'll be there. They don't show up. You know, to our world, that's normal stuff. Well, something came up and I couldn't come. Oh, something came up and I just had to lie to you. They didn't say that. Sorry. That kind of slipped out. If you say something, keep your word. If you say it, do it. Sorry, that's a sore spot with me. You say it, do it. Keep your word. Let God be in you. God never tells a lie. God never says an untruth. I got to jump down here. Hebrews chapter 11. I know last week I talked about Abraham. Abraham's been talked about already. But I had it down. I wanted to close with Abraham, so I'm going to do it anyway. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 9. Musicians, come on. I'm getting ready to close. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I preached that whole story last week. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God is able to keep his word. God will do what he said in the Bible. Verse number 12, therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Abraham didn't see heaven. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. I am too. Now, I have never seen heaven yet, but I'm going to one day. And you know, God has given me very special promises about that this church. God is doing exactly what he told me he was going to do in this church. But all that he said, all that I'm holding on to, hadn't come to fruition yet. Hadn't happened yet. You see, we don't have seven daughter works yet. We haven't had, you know, other preachers become pastors in New London County. No, we've had other people come into ministry and their pastors other places. But I'm looking for the fulfillment of the promise right here in New London County. God, I'm telling you, God is going to keep his word. I want to hold on to the promise that God has given me. I'm holding on to every single word, every single promise God has ever given me. Hold fast the promise. God promised Abraham he would have a country. You see, some things are even bigger than the life of a man. We see things right behind us where we've been. I know what God did back there. Man, God's really great. I know God's great for what he did for me. And I know what is ahead of me is absolutely wonderful. I can't hardly wait to get there. I want to get there just as fast as I can. I want to do everything I can to fulfill God's promises in my life. I can see ahead what God is going to do yet in my life. But God sees things not like we see. It's not just behind us or right in front of us. God sees the whole picture. God sees the beginning and the ending, and all things in between. Amen. Amen. I am absolutely convinced that God is going to fulfill his promises. Amen. That there are going to be people in this church that are going to be committed unto God, that will have a faith in him that is unshakable, that is unmovable, that will know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and he alone is the Almighty God. I'm convinced that there are people here under the sound of my voice that are the fulfillment of that promise. Stand with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I'm closing with this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man, you got to sow some seed into the kingdom of God. You got to put your life in his hand. Amen. And God will bless you. Would you lift your hands with me? Can we close this service and just giving ourselves and letting God know, Lord, I am going to keep this promise that you gave me all of the days of my life. There is nothing that could turn me aside or turn me away. And if I fall, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to repent of my sin and I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to again trust you. Come on. Come on to this altar. Make a promise to God. Come on to this altar.